It is February the 22nd, and we are in Parshas Vayeshev on page 200.
Oh, we turned the page.
And we are up to Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayachalom Yosef Chalom. Yosef dreamt a dream. Vayagid le'achav, and he told his brothers. Vayosifu otz no oso, and they continued more to hate him, or to hate him more. They translated as, they hated him even more. So they added hatred to his hatred. So this is the first of many dreams that are associated with Yosef. How many dreams are associated with Yosef?
Two.
Well, we have two Yosef dreams. Two that he interprets. Okay. That's four.
Two pharaohs and two of
that's right. So six dreams. Right, two here. Then the butler and the baker.
And Paro
has two as well. So Yosef has a lot of dreams associated with Yosef. That's an important point to know. We'll talk about that at a later date. Bli Neder, Benavel. We'll get to that at a later date. But the dreaming and Yosef is very connected. So Yosef dreamt a dream and he told it to his brothers. And they continued to hate him even more. Vayomer Elam, and he said to them, Shimuna, hear now, Achalom Azeh Asher Chalomti, this dream that I dreamt. V'hinei anachnu me'almim alumim b'soch ha'sadeh. We were bundling bundles. How do they say it?
Binding sheaves.
Okay, bundling bundles. In the middle of the field. V'hinei kama alumasi, and behold, my sheev stood up. V'gam nitzava, and was completely standing. Kama means it began to get up. They say arose and then remained standing. Kama is to begin to arise and itzava is to be actually fully upright. And behold, your sheaves turned and bowed down to my sheaf. They say the sheaves gathered. Sisubena, they gathered. See, sisubena comes from the word sov, which means to surround. Your sheaves came around mine and then bowed. Okay. So that's the first dream. Vayomu lo echav, and his brother said to him, Hamaloch timloch aleinu, will you rule over us? Im mashol timshol banu, will you, another word for rule over us. They have reign and dominate. Two different words for taking control. Vayosifu otz no oso, and they continue to hate him even more. Al chalom osav on his dreams, ve'al devarav and on his words. Vayachalom od chalom acher, and he dreamt another dream. Vayesaper oso le'echav, and he told it over to his brothers. Vayomer, and he said, Hine chalamti chalom od, behold, I dreamt another dream. And behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father yelled at him, scolded him, they write. And he said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamt? Will I and your mother and your brothers come to bow down to you to the ground? And his brothers were jealous of him. His father waited for the thing. He kept the thing in mind. Okay, till there.
Not just Yosef, but in general, what percentage of dreams are good, true, or prophecy, and what percentage are not, or does it depend who had the dream?
Okay, so that is really the question. The question is, what is the significance of dreams? We're going to talk about that tonight. let's first make some observations about the words here, and then we'll talk about the whole concept of dreams. Yosef has some dreams. The way the Torah tells it to us, narrates the story for us, is a little bit, it bears a little attention. Notice in Pasuk K, verse 5, it says, Yosef dreamt a dream, and he told to his brothers. And they hated him even more. And he said to them, listen to this dream that I dreamt. And then it actually tells us the dream. Isn't that a little bit wordy for an introduction? If I were writing the Torah, I would have written, Yosef dreamt a dream, and he said to his brothers, and say what happened, say tell the dream, and then say, and they hated him because of the dream. The Torah instead introduces it to us. It says, Yosef dreamt a dream, he told it to his brothers, they continued to hate him even more. Okay, fine. Then, it's now going back to explain what actually happened. He said to them, listen now, this dream that I dreamt. And behold, we are in the field, etc. So, the Torah seems to feel necessary to introduce to us what happened before telling us the actual dream and what they hated him about. And then their response in Pasuk Ches, verse 8, and they said to him, are you going to rule over us? Are you going to dominate us? And they hated him for his dreams and for his words. So, I just think it's a little redundant. Just tell us what happened and tell us that they hated him. Rather than tell us the introduction is that he dreamt, he told them they hated him, and then say, and this is what he said, and this is what happened, and they responded, and they hated him. It's a little bit redundant.
Maybe we want to show up to different levels.
Of?
Maybe the Torah is showing us that Shemim and Nevuah can come by way of a dream. And then it shows us a lower level of the brothers' reaction. They were so, the hateful of him.
Well, that's fine, but he already told us that. It said, Yosef dreamt a dream, he told it to his brothers, and they hated him. And then it says it again.
They hated him to begin with.
Well, no, but here's they hated him more.
Well, that's so in hearing it, of course they
would hate him. Right. I'm just asking about the redundancy. I'm not asking about the Torah telling. I'm not asking about the Torah telling it to us. Just about the redundancy of it. Why does it have to repeat it?
Because you.
Wait.
The Torah, I think, is giving us a heads up into the way he told them. Behold. Three times.
Okay. Good. Okay. So it seems that the way he said it is that the Torah is drawing our attention to. Okay.
They're introducing. They hated him. Here's why. Listen to the way he says it.
Okay, good. We'll get back to that.
But yeah. Isn't there a tendency to, when you're repetitious, to emphasize this as being very important?
Okay. Okay, so the Torah is emphasizing what is happening.
Yes.
Okay. So the way the Torah says it, if we read it carefully, is, again, starting with Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Yosef dreamt a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him. They hated him even more. Now, what did they hate him for? What did they hate him more for? We know why they hated him already. But why does this add to their hatred?
Because he didn't have... Why should he tell them? If he had a dream?
He's emphasizing that... he is going to rule the brothers or make a decision, and that that is not a good feeling.
But he hadn't told them that yet.
Well, I'm not asking what it seems. I'm asking what the Torah is telling us. The Torah says, let's read the words. Yosef dreamt a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So what did they hate him for? They hated him for the fact that he told it to them.
Right.
It's irrespective of what the dream was, it is the fact that he told it to them that they hated him. We don't even need to know what the dream was at this point. The Torah just tells us they hated him because he told it to them. Then the Torah tells us actually what happened. He said to them, listen now to this dream that I dreamt. And behold, we are in this, we are binding sheaves, and in the middle of the field, and behold, mine got up and stood up straight, and behold, yours gathered round, or turned around, and they bow down to mine. And his brother said to him, "You're going to rule over us? You're going to take control over us?" And they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So here the Torah specifies what was the hatred for? The dreams and the words. Now, he then has a second dream. So it tells us, he had a second dream. He had a second dream. And he told it to his brothers. And he said, "Behold, I dreamed another dream. And behold, the sun, the moon, the stars, the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And he told it to his brother and to his fathers. And to his father. Now, does it say they hated him even more?
No.
On the second dream, it doesn't say they hated him even more. It doesn't say that. In the first dream, it says it twice. Before it tells us what the dream was, and after it tells us what the dream was. It tells us, definitely, thank you. Thank you very much. So, it tells us that they hated him even more before it tells us the dream and after it tells us the dream. But on the second dream, there's no mention of the fact that they hated him even more. The only thing it does say is when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father scolded him, and then he said to him, "What is this dream that you dreamt? Are me and your mother and your brothers going to come to bow down to you to the ground?" And his brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept it in mind. So there it mentions jealousy, but it doesn't say anything about them hating him more.
If Joseph understood that dreams to be prophecies, and a prophet is forbidden to conceal what he must reveal to others from the Vilna Gaon, so wouldn't they have known the same thing?
So, okay, good. Good question. That's a good question. Okay. So, we're going to get to this. I want to address a couple more things before we get to this point. What you're pointing out is really the same issue that Dr. Gross brought up, which is that what is the nature of dreams? Which, again, we have to talk about, and we will. Let's just address a couple more points before we get to the actual nature of dreams. I want to move along. I want to get back to that. So, the two dreams are very different in nature. In the first dream, Yosef dreams about the brothers binding sheaves. And then, who bows down to who, or what bows down to what? Their sheaves bow down to his sheaf, not to him. Very careful. Their sheaves bow down to his sheaf. His sheaf stands up, which the sheaf isn't supposed to be able to do, and then their sheaves bow down to him. After gathering around, they bow down to him. So, it's not the people bowing down to the person, it's the sheaves bowing down to the sheaf. In the second dream, he mentions the sun, the moon, the stars, 11 stars, bowing down to him. That's one major difference. Another major difference is, and wait, let me just make it clear, in that first difference, it's not just that in the first dream they're bowing down to his sheaf, and the second dream they're bowing down to him. But in the first dream, their sheaves are bowing down to his sheaf. In the second dream, the stars, the moon, the sun, which apparently represent them, but they're not mentioned. He didn't see them in the dream. He only saw the stars, the sun, and the moon bowing down. He didn't see them. And they bowed down to him. Clearly, the 11 stars that he saw represent the 11 brothers, but he didn't see the 11 brothers. And there they bowed down to him. Another major difference between the two dreams is that in the first dream, there is no mention of the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon in the second dream, as Yaakov himself says, represent Yaakov and Yosef's mother. The sun being Yaakov, the moon being Yosef's mother, and the 11 stars. So, in the first dream, there's no mention of any parents, only the 11 sheaves.
Is Benjamin born right now?
Benjamin is born, yes. Yeah, there are a total of 12, and the 11 are bowing down to him. So that is a second observation. A third observation that Rashi makes for us, and the truth is, Chazal say it, is that when Yaakov says to him, "What's this dream that you dreamt? Will I and your mother and your brothers come to bow down to you to the ground?" Yosef's mother, what's that? Yosef's mother is who?
Rachel.
Rachel. And Rachel has since passed away. She's no longer living. So it can't refer to her. And that's what Yaakov is saying. Rashi explains to us, that's what Yaakov is saying, that Yosef, well, what do you think? You think your mother and I and your brothers are going to bow down to you? Your mother can't possibly bow down to you. She's dead. So Rashi explains to us that Yaakov was trying to deflect the jealousy of the brothers. He was trying to show the brothers, you take it, don't take that dream seriously. You think that it's going to happen? What? Rachel's not alive. Clearly, the dream is a false dream. Now, this is going to tie into our discussion about what dreams are in the first place. But clearly, the dream is false. It can't possibly come true. So he was trying to deflect the jealousy of the brothers, but it didn't work. The brothers were still jealous, and his father still held on to it. It says that he kept the matter in mind. In other words, his father did not dismiss the dream as being completely false, even though what he was saying was being dismissive of the dream. But inside, Yaakov did not dismiss the dream. He did hold on to it. Question is, why? Did he believe what he was saying? Didn't he say that? What do you mean? But how could it be that your mother's going to bow down to you? So, regarding the first two observations about the different objects in the dream, when do these dreams come true? We know they're going to come true. When do they come true? When Yosef becomes the viceroy in Egypt, then what happens?
Then they talk and bow down to him because he...
When do they bow down? The brothers come down to buy food.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? They bow down to him. They bow down to him. How many brothers bow down to him?
Ten.
Ten brothers. Binyamin doesn't bow down to him. He's not there. But Yosef then insists that they go bring Binyamin back. And they go and bring Binyamin back. And then they all bow down again. So then all 11 bow down to him. Then he reveals himself. And then they all go back and get their father. They come back. And then they all bow down to him.
The father too.
Well, the father, we'll see. We'll talk about Yaakov bowing down to Yosef later. When we get to Parshas Vayechi, we'll talk about that whole idea. So, in the first time that the brothers bow down to Yosef, Yosef is not known as Yosef. They don't know who he is. He is Safnas Paneach. He is that name that Paro gave to Yosef. He's the viceroy of Egypt, but they don't know that he's Yosef. There's anonymity in the first bows that they do to Yosef. So the first dream that represents the first time the brothers meet Yosef and bow to him, in that first dream, they don't know that he's Yosef. And so that's why in the first dream, it is sheaves bowing to the sheaf. There is a sense of detachment. It's not the brothers bowing to Yosef, because they are not his brothers in the first time they bow down to him. He may recognize who they are, but they don't realize that he's Yosef. They don't realize he's their brother. And so it is their sheaves bowing to his sheaf. It's also no accident that it's sheaves, because what do the brothers come down for?
For food.
For food. Would they have bowed down to him had they not needed food?
No.
They would have said, forget it, I'm not dealing with you. They would have left. When he demanded to see Binyamin, they didn't have to listen to him. They could have just gone home, but they needed the food. He held them hostage, as much as we're going to see that he took Shimon hostage. We'll talk about that also when we get there. But the real reason why they were at his whim is because of sheaves, was because of food. So your sheaves bow down to my sheaf. That's the first dream. But there's no mention of father or mother, because nobody's there. It's just the brothers. Later, the second dream, which is the 11 stars and the sun and the moon, when they're bowing down to Yosef, that's already after he reveals himself. At that point, they know who he is, so they're bowing down to Yosef. But moreover, what is considered, what would you say is a more respectable stand-in for yourself? If you were going to be depicted in somebody's dream, would you like to be depicted as a sheaf of wheat? Or would you like to be depicted as a star?
A star.
A star is much more harsh. That's an important thing. A star is a right thing. Right? When Yosef revealed himself as his brother's brother, then all of a sudden they became celebrities. They became important people in Egypt. They were no longer at his whim for food. People were showering them with gifts. They were the brothers of Yosef. They were no longer being held hostage. They were now stars. Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim. He's the son. It's funny, he's the father. He's the son. No, but he's the S-U-N. He's the son. He's the most important thing that anybody can think of. And we'll talk about Yaakov coming to Mitzrayim and what that meant to the brother, to Paro. So the second dream is a totally different dream. It's a dream that shows the brothers in a totally different light, bowing down to Yosef, who they now know is Yosef. So that is where the two dreams have differences.
Who represents the moon? If Rachel...
So Rashi tells us, as somebody said, it's not Rachel, but rather it's Bilha, who raised... Yes, he said that. Bilha, who raised Yosef, is represented by the moon. Right.
That was my question.
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting that Joseph relates his second dream to his brothers in verse 9, and in verse 11 he relates it to his father.
Right. Rashi says he repeated it. He repeated it to his father and brothers. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, what's in a dream? So, here we have two dreams that we know come true in the end. Later on, we're not going to get to it for several weeks, we have the dreams of the butler and the baker. Mm-hmm. They also come true. And then we have the dreams of Paro, and they also come true. There's a big difference, though, between these two dreams of Yosef and the dreams of the butler, the baker, and Paro's dreams. Here, in the dreams of Yosef, there is no recorded interpretation. We may understand what it is. We look at it and we say, oh, we know what it's talking about, because we know the rest of the story. The brothers may have suspected what it's talking about, but the Torah does not say, and Yosef interpreted his dreams to mean that his brothers were going to bow down to him. Nothing of the sort is mentioned. It's just dreams. With the butler, the baker, and Paro later on, there they need interpretation. And Yosef is the one to interpret the dreams. But there's interpretation needed for the dreams. There are four types of dreams that a person can have. The Maharsha explains in Maseches Brachos, in Tractate Brachos, that there are four types of dreams. It's a fascinating thing that the Gemara, the Talmud, devotes a full, three full pages, both sides of the page, to talk about dreams. Dreams can be a serious matter. And there are four categories of dreams that one can have. The most powerful dream a person can have is nevuah, is prophecy. We know that with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem gives prophecy to anybody, it is not peh el peh. It is not talking one to the other. We know that Hashem says to Aaron and to Miriam, your prophecies are different than the prophecy that Moshe has. And we know that this is one of the 13 articles of faith that we have, that the Rambam enumerates. We must believe this. Every Jew has to know this. Moshe's prophecy stands alone. It's on a totally different plane than any other prophecy one could have. Moshe, Hashem talks to Moshe, peh el peh, mouth to mouth, face to face. Ka'asher yedaver ish al reyehu, like a man will speak to his friend. They're having a conversation. It's a buddy-buddy relationship. Hashem and Moshe. They're schmoozing with each other. obviously, so to speak. Obviously, when Hashem speaks, it's not just schmoozing. But that's the way it appeared. Moshe would talk to Hashem as if he was talking to one of us. When Moshe would get a prophecy, I imagine the way it would work is if you were standing in the room and Moshe would get a prophecy, we would all be standing here, and all of a sudden Moshe would say, oh, yeah, is that what you... Oh, really? But what about... Oh, and how about... Yeah, as if there was someone else in the room. And you wouldn't see that other person. Because he's talking to Hashem. It would be like he's going on with normal conversation. That's Moshe and Hashem. That's Moshe's prophecy. No other prophet had that kind of prophecy. Every other prophet gets prophecy in one of two ways. Either when he's asleep, it's a dream, or when he is awake but in a semi-conscious state. The Ramchal explains that the awake, semi-conscious state, the Gemara tells us that when other prophets would get prophecies, they would appear to be a little bit not all there.
Like a trance.
And I don't know about a trance. They would be a little out of their minds. They would look like they were a little bit inebriated. Meaning that you'd be standing in the room and he would get a prophecy or she would get a prophecy and they would appear like something is going on. It wouldn't be a typical conversation. There would be fear, perhaps, on their faces because they're talking to Hashem. They would lose control of the way that they were acting. They wouldn't lose control in a bad way. It wouldn't be like, they wouldn't demean themselves, but they would not have their wits completely about them. The Ramchal explains that up here in their minds, everything was perfectly clear, crystal clear, that a prophet sees his prophecies with perfect clarity, and that's not the issue. But to the outside observer, he doesn't look like he's all there with a typical prophecy. But not so Moshe Rabbeinu. Or the other prophets would get their prophecies when they're asleep. They would be asleep, and Hashem would come to them in a dream and talk to them. When a prophet gets a prophecy, and we've talked about this before, the prophecy is crystal clear, which means the prophet knows that he's having a prophecy. It's not that he wakes up and he says, oh, what was that again? Did God really appear to me? That's not the way it works. There's a total clarity in a prophet's prophecy. More than that, it's not like he's like floating and he's getting these visions and there's some kind of a voice echoing in his brain. It's not like that at all. It's very clear that he is having a prophecy and God is speaking to him and this is what God is saying and this is what he's supposed to do. There's no ambiguities. He knows what's going on. But it can happen while he's asleep. Now, if that happens, that level of dream, when he wakes up, he wouldn't call it a dream. He would call it a nevuah. He would call it a prophecy. That is prophecy. That's the highest level of dream. It's a prophecy. Then, you have three other levels. The other extreme, that's level one. Level four are the dreams that we have. Dreams that we have are garnished, are nothing. They're nothing. The dreams that we have are just random thoughts that are generated because of what we have thought about during the day. That's all it is. They are meaningless. They have no bearing on anything. They are just random thoughts. That's the vast majority of dreams that go on, certainly today. That's level four. That's what researchers call dreams. They're nothing. It's just thoughts. Now, when I say that it's based on what you thought about during the day, it doesn't necessarily... it's not necessarily an exact... It's not a linear thing, which means like this. Say a person wakes up, they had a nightmare, and they're really scared. They're really scared. So there are really three approaches that we have as Jews, four approaches as Jews, to deal with a really terrifying dream. The best approach is to ignore it. It's nothing. It's just meaningless, gibberish, has no bearing on anything. If a person can tell themselves that, and in doing so, they'll feel better, that's the best way to handle it. But let's say a person tries, then it doesn't work. You know, I tell myself, it's nothing, but it doesn't feel like it was nothing. I mean, it was pretty serious. It was, you know, and wow, you know, it was terrible. There was fire and brimstone, and you know, people were dying, and it was just horrible. And I can't get beyond it. Okay, so then there are three other things that one could do. A person could do hatavas chalom. Hatavas chalom is where a person gets together three people, a beis din, a court, and if you open up any sitter, any good sitter, any good prayer book, and you can find the ritual of Hatavas Chalom. And basically what happens in Hatavas Chalom is that the person who had the dream speaks to the three and says, I had this bad dream, I had a dream, and they say to him, it was a good dream. And he says, I don't remember all the back and forth, but he says, it was a good dream. You know, they have some kind of a ritual back and forth about it. And essentially, hatavas chalom, the words mean making a dream good. Gooding a dream. That's what the words literally mean. From the word tov. So that's another process that one could do. I once had a Rebbe, when I was in high school, who used to do this. He once called me into the office as one of his three. He would have dreams, and he would do hatavas chalom. Okay, that's enough. If that makes you feel good, fine. And that's a good way to handle it. Another thing a person can do is that we know that on Yontif, on Pesach, which is the most the soonest Yontif, Pesach, Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, on Sukkot, the Kohanim, they get up and they duchen. They bless us. Well, if you look in Birchas Kohanim, look in the center where the Kohanim bless us, so there's a stage in there where they sing. Na, 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 right? So they sing. While they're singing, what do? There's a prayer to recite. What is that prayer about? About bad dreams. Making dreams good. If we had a bad dream, I dreamt a dream, I don't know what it is, make it good, etc. That's another thing a person could do. And finally, what's another thing, a third thing a person could do? A third thing a person could do, the Gemara says, a person could fast. A tainis chalom, a dream, a fast for a dream. A person has a bad dream, really, really bad dream, they can fast. You know, a tainis chalom, a fast for a dream, you're not supposed to ever fast on Shabbos. Not supposed to ever fast on Shabbos. But if a person has a bad dream on a Friday night, they're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Even the fast on Shabbos. They could do that. Huh?
You know anyone who's done that?
I don't know anyone who's done that. No, I'm going to discourage you very strongly before we finish this class. But that's what one could do. The Gemara says, by the way, that if a person ever does that, they have to fast on Shabbos for a bad dream. They have to fast again on Sunday because they fasted on Shabbos. So it's to make up for the fact that it was degrading for Shabbos, so they have to fast again on Sunday. Okay. At any rate, those are the ways of handling bad dreams. Now. Right, right. So.
Yeah, I was told to be careful who you tell your dreams to.
Right. So the way that I personally handle a bad dream is I interpret it for good. I interpret it for good. Death is no problem. Death is one of the easiest things to interpret for good. You dream someone died, death just means that they're starting a new life. That's all it means. That's all it means. If the person died, it means that they're now going to start anew. Either they're going to start anew in their financial life, in their family life, in their emotional life, in their religious life. Pick whatever you want. Whatever thing that person needs. And say to yourself, oh, the person died. Okay, it means that their business is about to do much better. They're going to have a booming business. Okay? It just means there's going to be a new life for them. Or say, you know, this person died. Okay, it just means they're going to become more religious and their whole life is going to change. Or they're gonna meet their spouse and they're gonna get married, a new life, right? Right? So something like that, right?
Did you make an
announcement? In this second dream, didn't
Yaakov
interpret it?
Okay, hold on. We're gonna get to the other dreams. Hold on. We haven't gotten to these dreams yet. I'm talking about
the one with the when the Kohanim of are we supposed to say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Because that's really addressing dreams that we don't remember. We know we had a bad dream, but we can't remember the details. It starts off, Chalom chalamti ve'eni yodei amahu. I dreamt a dream, but I don't know what it is. I know I dreamt something, but I don't remember what it was, but it was troubling. That's what that's for. So the if you interpret a dream for good, the reason to interpret a dream for good is just to get it off a person's mind. It's not a big deal. Our dreams are so meaningless. It's not a big deal. But what I started to say before, it's not linear. The Mishnah Berurah writes, the Chafetz Chaim writes, that if a person has a bad dream, then the first thing to do is say to yourself, did anything bad happen yesterday? If something bad happened yesterday, then that's why you had a bad dream. And he says, don't think that, well, you know, what happened bad yesterday? Yesterday, I fell down and banged my knee. So, if I have a dream of a banging my knee, then that's because I that's what happened to me during the day. He says, no. If you fell down and banged your knee, then you might have a dream about somebody dying. You might have a dream about something totally different, but bad. Pain, physical pain during the day can lead to a bad dream about something else entirely at night. And it's not real. It's just because he's dealing with pain. If a person experienced emotional pain, significant emotional pain during the day, that could lead to a bad dream about something entirely different at night.
Eating the wrong thing.
If someone says during the sleeping time, someone finds resolution of some problems, scientific problem, whatever. So, to what kind of dream do you?
We have a couple more different levels of dreams. This is the most. This is what I'm saying. But figuring out a scientific solution at night, that just might be because your brain is working. Your brain is still working at night. So if you go to sleep if you were thinking about a problem, very often you can solve a problem. You know, you wake up and it's so crystal clear what the answer is. You went to sleep, you were confused about something. You wake up, not necessarily a scientific problem. Let's say there's a problem in your own life, and you wake up, I know what to do. Like you go to sleep indecisive, and you wake up, yeah, it's clear. Sometimes just sleeping on it helps because your brain is still working. That's not even dreaming. That's just clarity. Yeah.
No. I'm waiting to.
Okay. So that's our dreams. Our dreams are really nothing to worry about. If anybody has a bad dream and you have trouble interpreting it for good, just give me a call. I'll give you a good interpretation. So this is what I do with my kids. I tell them to tell me the dream, and I just tell them what it means for good. Sometimes they don't want to say it. They're too afraid to even say it. So okay, so then, then you can't. Sometimes kids dream, they're afraid to tell it over. But you can almost always you can interpret it for good, and that's the best way to go. But that's because our dreams are really not that important. Now, so we have the two extremes. We have the dream, which is really prophecy, and then we have the dream that's really meaningless. But then there are two other dreams. There are Yosef's dreams, and there are Paro, the butler, and the baker's dreams. Yosef's dreams are level 2, and Paro, the butler, and the baker are level 3. Yosef's dreams are not, you wouldn't call them prophecy. He didn't dream something clear about what was going to happen in the future. He dreamt about exactly what he says. These sheaves bowing down, the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down, that's what he dreamt. However, these dreams did not require an interpretation. These dreams were destined to happen, and it's just a question of when and how it was going to happen. Yosef's dreams were not quite prophecy, but they were a step beneath prophecy. They were what we would call a mashal, a parable. Right? If let's say I would tell you, instead of calling it a dream, I'd call it a parable. Let me tell you a mashal, a parable. There were 12 people standing in a field bundling bundles. And the 11, and then 11 sheaves got up and bowed down to one of the sheaves. That's a parable. What do you think it means? So you would all say to me, well, it means that eventually these 11 people will come to bow down to the one person. That's a mashal. That's a parable. That's what he dreamt. So that is not quite a nevuah, it's not quite a prophecy, but it's a step beneath that. That's level two.
Does anybody have these dreams?
Oh, we'll get to who can have these dreams in a minute. Level three are Paro's and the butler's and the baker's dreams. Those dreams are lower than what Yosef had, but they're more than what we have. Those dreams were subject to interpretation. There is a statement in the Gemara that a dream follows its interpretation. If you interpret it for good, it'll be a good dream. If one, God forbid, interprets it for bad, it'll be a bad dream. The Marsha explains that Gemara is referring to level three dreams. Level three dreams depend on the interpretation. In fact, the Gemara relates a story that there was a dream interpreter. There was a dream interpreter. He was a guy who said, you know, I can interpret people's dreams. I'll give you help. He was good at it. The only thing is that if you paid him, he interpreted for good. And if you didn't pay him, he interpreted for bad. And the Gemara tells stories how he hurt people, or he interpreted for bad, and his interpretations came true. And then eventually, when the person who was getting the bad interpretation started to pay him, then it all started to turn good. So, the level three dreams follow the interpretation. Paro and the butler and the baker's dreams were level three dreams. And the interpretation is what affected those dreams. Now, an interpretation is important because it doesn't just mean to be interpreted, but it's accepted by the dreamer. That's what will affect his dream. When Paro dreamt about seven cows and seven skinny cows, and the seven large cows swallowed the seven skinny cows swallowed the seven large cows, he went to the Khartoum, and he went to the sorcerers of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, and he said to them, what does my dream mean? And they said to him, you know what it means? You're going to have seven daughters. Your wives are going to give birth to seven daughters, and then you're going to bury seven daughters. That's what's going to happen. Seven are going to be born. Seven are going to die. But then the pasuk says, Paro didn't accept those interpretations. They didn't sit well with him. They didn't ring with the truth. He didn't feel that it fit in to his dreams. So they didn't count as interpretations, even though they were interpreted. But it didn't count as interpretation because he didn't accept it. It didn't feel right. When Yosef came along and said, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, a light bulb went on in his head. He said, oh, that sounds right. And he accepted that interpretation. Therefore, it was true. Once it was accepted, then that's the way it's going to work. The same thing with the butler and the baker. They dreamt dreams and they woke up and they were afraid. They didn't know. They were, well, what's going on over here? Yosef came in and he told them the dreams, the interpretations. The butler didn't like his interpretation. The interpretation was he was going to get hung. But it rang with the truth. He heard it and said, you know what? That sounds right. And he believed it. And it came true. That's a level three dream. Now, who can dream these dreams? So obviously the level one dreams, prophecy, only a prophet can have those. To get a level two dream, you got to be on a pretty high level. So you don't need to be a prophet, because it's not prophecy, but you got to be somewhere up there. So most of us are not, let me speak for myself, it's hard for me to believe that I will ever be Zoicha. I don't want to write myself off, we can always hope, but it's highly unlikely any of us will ever get to a level two dream. That's highly unlikely. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. There are people that I'm sure get those kind of dreams, if they're very, very pious, but it's not a typical thing. The dreams that we have fluctuate between 4 and 3. Vast majority of our dreams are level 4, and a very small minority are level 3. Even the butler, the baker, and Paro, who were not great pious people, had level 3 dreams. Now, bear in mind, they had level 3 dreams at a time when prophecy existed in the world. So the whole idea of dreaming was closer to spirituality than it is today. But nevertheless, level 3 dreams are possible, which is why we have these rituals that if a person has a bad dream, because perhaps it is a level 3 dream. And then maybe it could have some truth to it. So if it's a bad dream, if it's a good dream, nobody's upset with a good dream. You know, nobody's happy with a good dream. But a level 3 dream, if it really is bad, so then you want to either interpret it for good, and if it rings with the truth, go with it. Fine. If not, so then you got to do something to make it better. So either hatavas chalom, which means making it good. They tell you it's good, it's good, it's good. As long as the person accepts the fact, no, this is going to be a good dream. Okay, they feel better about it, then it'll be good. And if not, then the fasting. What does the fasting do? The idea of the fasting is that the fasting will take the place of whatever the bad thing is supposed to happen in the dream. It's supposed to be bad. I don't want it to be bad. I'll fast. And the fasting, I went through a terrible time in the fast. Nobody likes to fast, especially when everybody else is eating. It's even harder to fast. Right? So then, okay, that'll get rid of whatever was supposed to bad to happen. That's the idea, plus doing teshuva, etc. What I recommend, I'll get to the question in a minute, what I recommend strongly, as I said before, the best medicine with a dream is, it's nothing. It's just a bunch of gibberish. If that doesn't work, then interpret it for good. Interpret it. Tell yourself, think of a way where it will sit well with you. You know what? That's what it really means. It doesn't mean anything bad. Death is just renewal. You know, whatever it is, you know, the Gemara talks about he dreamed about his head getting smashed. So he interpreted it as your pillow, the stuffing of your pillow is going to come out. Okay, you know, anything like that. It could be anything that rings with the truth. And as I said, if you have trouble, give me a call. I won't charge you.
Why is Joseph give women invitation for butlers and bed for baker? Could be opposite in the discrepancy?
Well, the interpretation has to meet the dream. It has to ring with the truth. So it does. What it means to say is there could be several different interpretations that could be true, but it's got to fit the dream. So what we're going to see when we get to those two dreams, that the butler's dream definitely leaned towards bad, and the baker's leaned towards bad, and the butler leaned towards good. So we'll talk about that when we get there. But yeah, there has to be some relationship to the dream itself. Yeah?
In level 4 dreams, is it ever a case of angels just fooling around with you?
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. It just seems like, you know, it has nothing to do with you, really.
Yeah, I don't know what... The way I understand it is a person has to also has to be on a certain level in order to interact with angels. So I don't know what that...
No, it's not a question of interaction. It's just a question that they're there. They're doing
it. You know, but angels are robots. They do whatever God tells them to do. So, I don't know. You know, they don't act on their own. So
they don't
act on their own. Angels have, they don't have any free will. So
I just had a question about it seems like the power of interpretation is very strong.
Yes.
That somebody could actually get into this very heavily and do like magic.
Well, not magic, but could affect what will happen. That's on a level 3 dream.
Right. Yeah.
Is Mashiach supposed to have Nevuah? And if so, which level?
No, the Nevuah is only the first level of a dream.
I'm saying, is Mashiach supposed to have Nevuah?
Yeah.
That's the first level.
What do you mean first level? The first level dream.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Mashiach will be a prophet.
How does that differentiate between that and Ruach Kodesh?
Ruach Kodesh is not prophecy. Ruach Kodesh is like God directing you in the right path. That's all. Now, the what is going on over here with the brothers and Yosef? Yosef has a dream. And he says to his brothers, he told it to his brothers, and they hated him. Now, why do they hate him? So now, after our discussion about dreams, I think it should be pretty clear. The brothers assumed Yosef was having a level...
Four
dream. The brothers assumed Yosef is daydreaming about ruling over us. Yosef, that coat is getting to his head. Yosef is walking around thinking that he's going to take control. Yosef is thinking that we're going to be his subjects. That's why he's dreaming this dream. That's why they hated him. Because they didn't hate him because of the dream. The dream is meaningless, according to the brothers. They didn't think the dream meant anything. However, they hated him because he obviously was thinking about this, which is why he had the dream. So the brothers hated him because of the fact that he dreamed. Not the dream itself, but the fact that he dreamt this. That's what bothered the brothers.
But just the first dream.
So hold on, we'll get to it. Oh, right. So this is what they hated. So he told it to his brothers, and they hated him. And he said to them, listen now to this dream that I dreamt. And behold, we're in the field, etc., etc., etc. So they said back to him, Vayomru l'achav, Hamaloch timloch aleinu? You think you're going to rule over us? Imashol timshol banu? Are you going to dominate us? Vayosifu otzno oso, and they continued to hate him, al chalom osav, on his dreams, v'al divarav, and on his words. Rashi tells us that the words are the same words that we heard before, back in Pasuk Beis, at the end of verse 2, where it says, Vayove Yosef es dibasam ra'a el avihem, and Yosef brought their bad reports to their father. So now they hated him not only because of that, but also because of the dreams, because of the dream. So they hated him because of the dream that he dreamt. Again, not the words of the dream itself. It's not that they were afraid of the dream coming true, because if they would have attributed the dream to be a level 2 dream, then what are you hating him for? If it's a level 2 dream, then Hashem has a plan over here. A level 2 dream comes from God. A level 4 dream comes from my brain. It comes from what I think about doing today. A level 2 dream comes straight from Hashem. So, what are you hating him for? You may not like it, but it's coming from God. It's not coming from him. So, it has nothing to do with him. So, the first dream, they attributed to be a level 4 dream, he attributed to be a level 2 dream. And therefore, they hated him because they said, what is this? This guy is daydreaming during the day, and that's why he's dreaming this at night.
But they interpret this one, though.
Well, there's no need for interpretation. Right? I mean, no interpretation is stated. Even in their own minds, they interpret it.
Yeah, they
interpret it as his own plans for the future. But then he has another dream. He has a second dream. And he tells it to his brothers. And he says, behold, I dreamt another dream. And behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars are bowing down to me. Now, the brothers already see it a little differently. See, this second dream, the brothers see it as more than just him thinking about doing the day. Because in the first dream, and there may be other reasons, but this is the way I understand it. In the first dream, the brothers are depicted in a demeaning way. Sheaves of wheat, now yonder sheaf of wheat, it seems meaningless. It seems like gibberish. It just looks like, sheaves of wheat, this, that, and the other thing. So they interpreted a level 4 dream. But the second dream, which is the stars, the sun, the moon, bowing down to me, that's already another level. That already seems more significant. That doesn't seem like gibberish anymore. That seems like it might have some truth to it. Now the brothers suspect this might be a level 2 dream. So they don't hate him for the dreams. Because it's not him. He didn't cause himself to have the dream. Hashem gave him the dream. So what do you want to hate him for? But they were jealous. Jealous they were. They didn't hate him for it, but they were jealous. There was jealousy over here for the dream. Now, why were they jealous? If Hashem gave the dream, then evidently it's meant to happen. So what are you jealous about?
They didn't have a dream.
What's that?
They didn't have a dream.
They didn't have a dream. He had a dream. Okay, well, they didn't distrust him. It's not that they thought he was lying. Yaakov is sensitive to this. Yaakov scolds him, Rashi tells us, because he realized that he's causing jealousy by telling over the dream. And he told it to them, and then he told it again in front of them to his father. Now, he had to tell his father. because his father's also in the dream. But he didn't have to say it in front of them, but he says it in front of them, almost on purpose. So he was causing jealousy. So there is jealousy over here, but no hatred for the second dream. And that his father tries to dismiss it, but his father keeps the dream in mind. So there are two things. We're gonna stop here, but there's two. I'm gonna take questions in a minute, but there's two things that we need to pick up with next time as we move on in the story, and that is, what is the nature of the brother's jealousy? If it comes from God, it comes from God. What are they jealous about? And why does Yaakov need to hold on to the dream? What does that mean? If the dream is going to come true, then it's going to come true. What does it mean that he kept the matter in mind? Why does the Torah tell us specifically that Yaakov kept the matter in mind? Yes?
He said he has to tell his father. Why did he have to tell his father or anyone about the dream?
So evidently, because it was a level 2 dream, that it has the same rules of prophecy that they need to be told to whomever they apply to. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but, you know, I guess whenever we get a level 2 dream, we'll know.
Yeah, we thought a prophet was only supposed to tell if they were told to tell.
To tell, right. But I guess...
Also, if there's whoever it applies to, that's being told to tell.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Rabbi, isn't this demeaning to the leaders of all the founder of all the tribes, talking to them about jealousy, etc., the founder of all the tribes?
That, you mean that Yaakov?
To me, yeah.
To Yaakov.
When all they're, no, the way they reacted. They're the father of the tribe.
That they were, right. That's what we have to discuss, the nature of the jealousy. We can be sure their jealousy was not the type of jealousy that we have. The question is, what is the nature of this jealousy?
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah, well, that's what we have to discuss next time.
Well, when Joseph told his brothers the first dream about the sheep, so he had to know. I mean, he knew the brothers were already, they don't like him that much. He had to know that telling his brothers that dream is not going to make him very happy or very popular around his brothers. So why did he tell them?
Right. So it seems that he was meant to tell them because of the fact that it was a pseudo-prophecy. So it seems that he was meant to. But this is part of what I mean that we have to understand. What was he trying to do? Why does he say it over again in front of his brothers? That's what his father's yelling at him about. No, what are you doing? And you think it's going to happen?
His father's... I mean even the first dream.
All right, I understand. So, but it goes together. It seems that Yosef felt it was important to tell the brothers these dreams. Perhaps he felt he was supposed to. So that we're going to have to discuss. When we talk about the jealousy, we're going to have to discuss this. Let me... Yeah.